And praise God, he loves us that much. Did you realize today God's got you here because he loves you that much? Folks, God's been moving in his place today. And I want us to just pray and I want to give him thanks. Guess what? There have been people being saved at each service, the 8 o'clock, the 9:30. God's been drawing people to let them know, that they don't have to stay where they are. That they can be changed by his grace. Now I'm going to ask you to pick it up a notch. You know, after God's talk, we're going to officially declare summer's over. So we kind of got to get back in the groove and move forward with all the things that God wants us to do. We got a busy fall here at Hillview. And it's about doing the kingdom's work. It's about people meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to continue to give you the challenge because I know our God's up to it. Hear how I said this. I know our God's up to it. Okay? There's 85,000 plus people in Warren County that are either de-churched, disconnected from the church, or really don't give much credence to the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't determine their salvation, but I can tell you they sure aren't in much activation. Is that fair? And you know what? We want to make sure that they know that Jesus Christ died on the cross, is risen from the grave, will come into their life and give them a new life. Now, here's the thing. You can't tell them about that if you don't have that going on. You know, people ask me all the time, they say, well, how come the church isn't witnessing like it used to witness? And I said, well, you know, the problem is we got a lot of people that attend church and this going to sting. They just don't believe. You share what you believe. You live out what you believe. You follow what you believe. Watch this. Some of y'all believe in going to work. Guess what you're going to do in the morning? Well, I hope more of you believe in it than you're showing right now, or we're going to be in a lot of trouble. Yeah, you get up in the morning, you get in your car, and you head to work. That's an activating belief. Some of you have to believe in going to school because it's required by law that you attend. But guess what? You believe in studying. If you get up, you go to class, and you study. You actually engage. Now, I want you to take that word. I want you to take that word because this sermon is about engaging. You must engage with God. We participate with God to see the promises of God. Now, if you remember, as the children were brought out of Egypt, they hit a barrier. Their first barrier was the red what? Remember that? Moses had the Egyptian army coming down on him, and he had a Red Sea in front of him, and he had an impossible situation. And with that impossible situation, what did God do? He split the waters and the children of Israel walked across into freedom to the other side, remember? And he closed the waters on the Egyptians and the people of God went on. Now we're entering into the promised land. Go with me to Joshua 3. We're getting close. And I want you to note this right off the bat. If you're going to follow God, you will run into some problems. Tell your neighbor, there might be a problem. Go ahead and just let them know. It might be a problem. Come on. Come on, y'all got to talk a little louder than that. Come on, it might be a problem. Man, y'all look more asleep than the 8 o'clock service did. Come on, hit it. There might be a problem. I mean, you're going to follow Jesus Christ. There might be a problem. Now, I'm going to challenge you today. Some of you are going to get a little irritated today. Because you know what? We've kind of designed this faith of following Jesus Christ in America. We kind of have a sit and soak kind of mentality. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to hear some truth. I'm going to sit on it. I'm going to come back on next Sunday. I'm going to sit down, hear some more truth, and I'm going to sit on it. Let's see, Gary Dale get it the third time. And then the next Sunday, Gary Dale, I'm going to come to church, and I'm going to sit down. I'm going to hear some more truth, and I'm going to sit on it. Yeah. Well, guess what? If you really want to see the promises of God, you got to start putting your feet in. And I'm going to challenge you this fall, make this fall a time I'm going to stick my feet in what God wants me to be about. I'm going to ask God to touch me in such a special way and to encourage me by the power of the Holy Spirit that I'll put my feet where God wants me to put them. That may mean new challenges. It will mean new challenges. And it will mean this, difficult situations. I'm going to talk to young folk for just a second. Hey, guys, let me let y'all in on a big secret. There are stressors in life. Don't freak out. It's been that way since the beginning of time. This is not a new generation thing, and you do not need massive amounts of therapy to get through it. Believe. Y'all are soft. And there's only one reason you're soft. We made you that way. We gave you more than you needed. How many of your parents are guilty of giving your kids more than they needed? And then guess what else we did? We didn't give you what you needed sometimes. You didn't need a kiss. You needed a kick in the tushy. So you might step in. Now watch this. Have you noticed that God has done both? He has kissed His beloved children and He has disciplined His beloved children. Have you noticed that? Not everybody's going to the promised land. Moses and his group are dead in the desert. God was with them. God blessed them. But they died where? In the desert. Now, some of y'all living desert lives in here. I mean, God's with you, but you desert people. And here's the way you become a desert person. You back away from what God has said. Did I tell you how to become a desert person? Back away, or let's use this word, dis in what? Gauge from where the Holy Spirit is engaging you to go. You back off. Instead of step through. How many of y'all ever do that? You back off. Watch this. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. You know I'm telling the truth. How many of y'all have had problems because you have absolutely defied what God has said? All right, the rest of y'all doing it right now. It's called lying. When God said, own up in the truth. Once I get truthful, I can repent. What a lot of us hate to repent, don't we? How many of y'all even ask for forgiveness like this? God, if you'd straighten up that other person, that's not asking for forgiveness. Dear God, here's what I've done. I need to change. Now, let's go to Joshua chapter 3. We're going to look at three elements. The first thing is, you must do what God asks you to do. Joshua, he's not a young man by now. He's almost 80 years old, but his call started in his youth and now has led to the promise. I got to tell you, what you start now is the foundation of what you'll be for the rest of your life. Man, that's exciting. We got some great young people in here. But it's foundation. Tomorrow morning, there's going to be a river crossing for a lot of people. The Western Kentucky University opens up. Now, a lot of people have already had their river crossing. They crossed it last week. There are going to be a lot of people who went to high school and acted like me in high school. I basically roamed the halls. I took 4 years of PE. In fact, I pioneered in my high school. For those of you that have gone to Warren Central High School, there's a reason you have 4 years of PE now at Warren Central High School. I pioneered. I was part of the pilot class of that 4 years of PE. And then I went to lunch, and then I roamed the halls some more. And basically, all that qualifies you to do is work in Congress. Really, that's about it. You can roam around and eat. You can be a congressperson. There were other people that were studying and they were doing what God was asking them to what? Do. Now, I'm going to tell you what, this has some consequences. I went to college. I stepped in. Man, it was crazy. They had a pretty good plan. On Monday, they had class. Tuesday, they didn't have class. I liked that. But guess what? They expect you to read your book. So I just want to give a couple of you some heads up if you kind of did high school like I did. First of all, go to class. And I found this to be very helpful. No, attend. There will be a human being there, either a male or a female. They usually have a DR dot in front of their name. They're a professor. That DR dot means they've spent a lot of money and gone to school a long time. And they're going to give you assignments. Guess what? If you do them, and then about three times a year or for that semester, they will give you this thing called a test. And in December, not only is Santa Claus coming, but so are finals. And guess what? You have those, and if you pass those, they let you out, and then you go do it again for another, 15 weeks or 16 weeks. And if you do that long enough, eventually you have this person called a counselor comes to you and says, you've attained 120 credit hours. You have 8 credit hours left, and you can graduate from this institution. Then they hand you a piece of paper, and then you have another crossing. It's called find a job. life. Every moment of life has a challenge and a transition. Every moment of life is a transition. You're born, you take a breath, transition. You know, we're little dudes, we run around and we, you know, wear diapers. Life's kind of funny, isn't it? We start out in diapers and we end up in diapers. Isn't that pretty crazy? It just kind of circle, you know? We start out appreciating the little things in life and we end up, what? Appreciating the little things in life, like getting up in the morning. It's a good day. If you're 90 and you get up, wake up, that's called a good day. This is good. Now let's go to Joshua. He's got a calling. The Lord calls on Joshua in Joshua 3. And he says, Joshua, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do exactly what I've been telling you to do. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites. How many of them? How many went? How many does God want to go? What's God all about? He wants all. I even believe this. John Paul, I believe God wants everybody to be saved. He says so in His Word. His desire is you be blessed. Now, don't let that freak you out. How many of y'all are parents? How many of you all dream of your children spending nights in the penitentiary? I mean, how many of you all grow up and say, you know, I just hope my child gets 50 years in the pen? Do any of y'all do that? That'd sound weird, wouldn't it? Well, if you and I have that kind of love for what God created through us, how much more does God love us? See, I believe God desires us to understand that He made us, He loves us, and His promise will be in us. But we tend to step away from what God desires. And so this whole sermon or message or talk or whatever it is today, I want you to get this motion. Step in. Because guess what some of you are going to want to do? Step back. Hold on, test gets hard. Will Freddie Flintstone, remember how Freddie used to bowl like that? We'll tiptoe which way we go. Watch this. I know we do this in worship. At Hillview, we step into praise. We step back on the offering. Well, I got it quiet in here, didn't it? You went, gee, preacher, I didn't know you was going to be that truthful today. Then we'll kind of step into the sermon and we step back at the altar. Why? Because when you step in, you start activating the promise. And what we tend to want to do is talk about the promise, study the promise, analyze the promise, create promise institutions. But sometimes God says, step in to where I tell you to step. Now I want to give you some good news. As we step in, God goes ahead of us. And He tells Joshua, get the people ready. All the people, all the Israelite, we're going to set out and we're going to cross the Jordan. Now the Jordan's a little bit different crossing here. They crossed the Red Sea. But now to take over the promised land, to go into the land that God, who promised the land, hello. Give me one more time. Who promised the land? Who's giving them the land? They didn't get that from a real estate agent. Who's giving them the land? God is giving them the land. They didn't sing four worship songs and walk backwards and get the land. Why are they getting the land? Because God's promise. Exactly right, Tanya. God's promise. Now, how serious is God's promise in your life? God's promise to get you to heaven. How many of y'all believe that? Okay. Well, when difficulty comes your way, why don't we walk back? Now I'm going to blow you away. Y'all, hold on to your seat. Hold on right here. You ready? Because people don't believe it's about God. He will bring you to a difficult moment. Oh! That just blows people's minds who have a Barney God. Well, God would never put anything painful in my life. Yeah, He will. He killed His son. Where do you think you stand? See, God's not a bubblegum God. God's not Oprah. Thank God. God's got a destiny. God's not about what? God's not for the moment, He's for eternity. Amen. It's the real deal. It's just deeper than you can imagine. It's wider than you can see. And it's longer than you can envision. Figure that out. If you do, you'll be God. And He brings you to a moment. Now check us out. He brings them to the Jordan River at harvest time. And at harvest time is when the Jordan River is at flood stage and the water is moving swift, fast, and deadly. Now, I think God probably could have bought them there during the summertime when the water had dried out. Hello? But why did He bring them in the difficult time? You ready for my answer? He's God. In swift waters are only difficult for us. See, God didn't see a big, dangerous river. He just saw, let's cross. And the reason He was going to cross, because He's going to cross now. Because guess what He's doing? He's building the faith in the people. In the people. He's showing them, there's no river. He's singing that song to them. You know, y'all remember that song? Who sang this song? Hold on, Elizabeth will get it. You know, no mountain tall enough, no river wide enough. You remember that song? Ain't no, that one. Y'all got that one? Diana Ross. That's a long time ago. Guess what? There's nothing bigger than God. This old river that looks all nasty and deadly and could sweep you away is not bigger than the love God has for you and the promise that God has given you. So what does He do? He calls the people to be consecrated. He said, tell the people to consecrate themselves. That means get ready to meet God. He gives them a warning. If you look at the first part of that scripture, the priests go through and say, here are the boundaries, because I got good news. The Ark of the Covenant's coming through. Now, guess what goes ahead of the promise? The principles of God. The Ark of the Covenant. Anybody know what's in the Ark of the Covenant? The law. What would we call those, Eric? Ten Commandments are in there. There they are. Now, I don't know how much they weighed. I know they don't weigh as much as those judges' Ten Commandments down there in Alabama weigh 6 tons. That'd be a heavy ark. But the law of God is in there because those are some heavy truths. Now, by the way, I just want to give you a warning. Heads up, because I love you so much. If you try to cross the river without the principles of God, you will drown. Amen. And that's what a lot of us try to do sometimes. Well, I'm going to cross that river because God said I could go across that river. But we don't wait for the Ark of the Covenant to get ahead of us. Because guess what? Really? We want to cross the river because we want to cross the river because we want to be recognized. Now, let me tell you what. If you want to die early, just seek to be recognized. It'll kill you. When you think you can do things, you'll be like a dog. Elizabeth and I had a dog, crazy dog, dog with no sense. How many of y'all have ever owned a dog that chases a car? That's pretty funny. How many of y'all have ever owned a dog that caught the car? A dog that catches a car is deeply surprised. Why? Once they grab a hold of the car has got a hold of them, and they're handling something that they can't handle. Now, hold on. How many of y'all have ever done that in life? Now, I want y'all to be real careful because you don't want to wake up after your honeymoon and realize that you were the dog that just caught a car. That's why you better be careful how you date. Amen? I mean, you got to be serious. You got to look after this thing because it's God ahead of what I'm fixing to do. So God told Joshua, tell the people to consecrate themselves. Tell them to get ready. God's going to do something. I want you to notice what happens. Go over here to verse 15, chapter 3. We'll back up to 14. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Who went ahead of them? What else was in the Ark of the Covenant? Just to test y'all's memories. Ten Commandments were in there. What else was in there? Stewards, speak it with confidence, because you're correct. Manna! God. Yep. Things that reminded the people, God always keeps His promise. It's a big secret. It's really not a big secret. It ought to be our testimony. God keeps His promise. So here's what I'm trying to tell you today. I'm going to go over this again. Quit doing what with your faith? Walking back. Watch this. He didn't tell the priest, and get the Ark of the Covenant and walk back. You know, I don't want to be too critical of the church. It's the Lord's bride. But the church in the United States, watch this. Church, we Christians have tended to walk back instead of walk in. Would y'all agree with that? I'm not being critical. Let's not get all tore up about that. Let's say, wait a minute, God, maybe we need to repent because we tended to separate instead of engage. I think that's opposite of everything the Bible teaches. Here I am in the First Testament and God's saying, take the covenant and engage the water. So I'm really going to challenge you guys to get rid of this. Secular and sacred. And just have sacred. Who made the world? God, He made all of it. He didn't divide it. We did. He's got a promise for His people. God's in charge of all things. So I'm really encouraging you, don't step back. And just because you label it Christian doesn't make it Christian. See what I'm saying? It's not a label. We don't wear a label. We have a life. I'm not a Christian because you call me a Christian. You'll know that I follow the Lord Jesus Christ because you'll know I've been consecrated by God's grace by the way I step, by the way I walk, by the way I live, by the way I talk, by the way I declare God's promises in my life. He said, we're going to cross over the Jordan. Send the priest ahead of them. Now, how many of y'all are glad to know the priest has been sent ahead of us? Nothing's changed. What did they call Jesus? High priest. Exactly right, in Hebrews. Spends a lot of time in the writing of Hebrews. Y'all are saying, where's Hebrews? This is a good reason to go to Bible study. You'll know if you go to Bible study. I'm not telling you because you need to go to Bible study and find out. It's a book in the New Testament. It's a book in the Testament of Jesus. In Hebrews, it says Jesus is our what? High priest. Who goes ahead of us? Jesus. So here's the good news. We're not out there by ourselves. And even when you think you get there, God got there before you did. Can you handle that concept? Emily, God went to Western before you went to Western. Can you grasp that? God got there before, God was a freshman before you were a freshman. God graduated before you graduated. God doesn't have to have a PhD because He already knows everything. He doesn't study one thing, He knows everything. Make sense? If you have a PhD, you're telling the whole world you only know one thing real well. Because that's what you spend all your time studying. God says, I know all things. That's the difference. No problem. You got a PhD. That's really good. Don't be offended. Make a lot of money and tithe. Live life. Let's just watch this. Embrace the reality of God. God knows everything. Let the Ark, the Covenant, the principles, and the promises get ahead of you. Now go cross. Now what did the priest have to do though? Remember at the Red Sea, who did it all on the Red Sea? God. Moses tore up. Moses knew he was going to get beat up by the Egyptian army. God, do something! And God parts the Red Sea. Now, in crossing over the Jordan, God says, go stand in the water. There are times God calls us to participate in the divine. God uses people. How many of y'all can handle that? God uses people. Our pastoral staff, they hear this all the time. Yes, God's in charge. Yes, God is all sovereign. Yes, God is everything. But God has a historical tendency to use people to do His sovereign work. And I don't think this misunderstanding of God's sovereignty is going to play well on the day of judgment. My unfaithfulness is not the will of God. The sovereign will of God is not found in humanity's unfaithfulness. God says, step, you better what? Step. You say, well, Lord, the river's really fast. Yeah, it's really muddy. It's got stuff floating in it, God. Ooh, it's too cold. God says what? How many of y'all? Here's what I want you to know. God might send you someplace you don't like so you might find out what He likes. Isn't that wild? God might send you where you think you're not supposed to be. I remember I thought God wanted me to go to graduate school. I'm going to tell you, I had a moment. I was glad to have Elizabeth and God there with me. Or really God and Elizabeth assisting God. And guess how God worked? He worked through my wife. We landed on the East Coast. That's not a place that I regularly hang out. You know, I've never said, hey, let's go to Brunswick, New Jersey. I've never had that on my vacation plans. It's probably a wonderful place. I was amazed. God hooks me up to go to grad school in New Jersey. I am from Kentucky. I like grits. I eat pork. I fry stuff and like it. They don't do it on the East Coast. Walk in the first day of this grad school experience. I got in the car and I just told Elizabeth, I said, we're leaving. I'm not going up here. People had turtlenecks on and it was in September and it wasn't cold. They had little glasses on, which led me to believe they're really smart and I'm not. Elizabeth looked at me and she pointed her finger at me and she said, did God tell you to be up here? I said, yeah, but I don't want to listen to him. And she said, well, I'll tell you what, I've been with you before when you didn't listen to him. You're going right in that classroom. And guess what I did? I was like a little five-year-old being dropped off at kindergarten. And halfway through the program, she said, look, you're learning stuff. I said, yeah, don't tell anybody. Because what? I had to have my wife who loved me enough to do what? She didn't give me a kiss and go, oh, honey, it'll be okay. Get back in the car because you're scared to get death. She looked at me and said, how could I have married such an academic wimp? And she grabbed me and she said, the Lord will help you. He's been using me to help you since we were in the ninth grade. And you know what? She helped me get through my fear because I really had a fear because I didn't like school. Now, guess why I didn't like school? Because I'd never been obedient in school to what God called me to be in. So my disobedience caught me later on in life. And eventually I had to repent and say, God, listen, I'm sorry. I have not done what I was supposed to do. So guess what? I had to make up about 6 years in two and learn to do what I was supposed to do. Step out in the water when God says step, even if it doesn't make sense. Does this make sense? Are you getting this? Somebody hear what I'm saying. Seth, Saturday, 11:21, Central Standard Time. Guess what Western Kentucky University is going to do? They're going to step out in some swift waters. It's called the University of Tennessee. You know what? Nobody in America thinks Western could win that game. I do. Because I'm from here. I believe that God could cause some people to really step up. I think God could do impossible things. You know what? I've seen him do it before. I've seen him do tricky things. I've seen people in Vegas lose a lot of money on the opening day of college football. By the way, if you're betting on college football, the Bible talks about you. Oh, you fool. And it says foolishness will not prosper, and it never does. But you know what? Jerry, they went out there and put a bet. There was a University of Michigan, you know, fine, sophisticated, proper University of Michigan. Now, I'm not saying this is a powerhouse conference. It's the same conference that Ohio State plays in, so that ought to tell you about it. But there was some boys from North Carolina. Boone, North Carolina. Boone, North Carolina. You know where Boone, North Carolina is? You shouldn't unless you had to go there. They have a university there. Really, it's about the size of Western, called Appalachian State. Guess what? Those boys became convinced that they could beat the University of Michigan on opening day. Guess what they went and did? You know why? They believed they could. You know, I gotta imagine for a minute. Because I really do believe, I mean, I could sit up here for 5 minutes and show you statistically where we as God's people have stepped backwards away from the world and not stepped into the waters and gauged the world. I could show you that over and over and over again. And I'm not saying let's not go through all that. Let's repent and engage. Because how many people are at Western's campus this year? 21,500. Why are they here? Yes, to get an education. I'm glad that all our students are rapid firing me at this right now. They're going like, oh, what do you mean, why are we here? We're supposed to be here. Our parents are paying for it. No, y'all are really supposed to get an education. But you know what? I've got a hunch that there's probably some folks that need to meet Jesus that hadn't met Jesus yet, and God's brought them to Bowling Green, Kentucky. They need to get a walk with God. Because guess what? 4, 5, 6, 10 years from now, they'll graduate. And they're going to walk into the world. I want them to walk with the promise of God. How many of y'all desire that? I think God desires that. Church, I'm going to wake you up one more time. There are 85,000 people in Warren County who do not have a connection, an affiliation, a confession that Jesus Christ is their Lord. If that doesn't bother you, I ask you to check your salvation. Because once you truly get saved, guess what? You don't want anybody else to go to hell. How many of y'all have ever been to a good restaurant? I mean, good restaurant. I mean, just tore you up restaurant. I mean, the food was so good, your tongue was beating your brains out just looking at the menu. How many of y'all have been to one of those restaurants? Now, what did you do as soon as you finished eating there? And you saw one of your buddies. You don't just go, hey, we had lunch. You went, oh, man, I just had this prime rib sandwich, man. I mean, it was like, ah, oh, blah, 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 blah. Right? We speak in tongues, everything. Blah, 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 blah. Now I got to get to the altar quick because I've mentioned food and I've triggered y'all's, oh my gosh, I really am hungry. All right, we're about to close this thing. I'm going to ask you to step in a big way. Eric, we're going to minister to students, you and Ben, but y'all can't do it alone. There's 21,000. Y'all ain't super pastors. And if you believe you're super pastors, ask God to get you over that today. Because none of us are. Joshua's not a superstar. He's a man with a promise. He's not a superstar. Young people, I want to help you. There are no celebrity pastors. And those that we've made celebrity pastors, beware. In my little short 45 years, I haven't seen any of them yet survive the long haul. Everything looks good for 10 years. Listen to what God's promise is. It goes on forever. I want to follow God. They're not following Joshua. You know why? Joshua will get them killed. God will get them through. You know what they did? They did what God said to do. The priest went out there. Look at this. You there? You there? He went right out. Went right out there, like he said. In verse 15, it was at flood stage. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from the upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap. A great distance away in a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the sea of the salt sea, or that would be the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. What did God do? He took them through. Now, how many of y'all glad to know that you've got a God that's going to take you from now all the way through into heaven? It's amazing. God will take you through. And so I'm going to encourage y'all not to wear the label, not to wear the label of Christianity, but let's start living the promise of Jesus Christ. I think there's a big difference. For those of you who have been graced by God, you have had the privilege of hearing the Holy Spirit whisper into your soul saying, come. I did die. I am risen. And I want to save you. And you said, oh, Lord, I'm a sinner. Because when the Ark of the Covenant passes in front of us with those Ten Commandments, guess what it tells us? I'm a sinner. But guess what passes behind that Ark? Jerry, check this out. The high priest of all high priests. And when the Ark of the Covenant lets me know I haven't made it, the high priest lets me know he has forgiven me of all sin. And now guess how we get through the river? Joshua, he can't take you through this river. Guess who can? Jesus. Isn't that cool? Jesus. So let Jesus take you through. Today, some of you need to meet Christ. Man, God's been saving people all day long. Isn't that cool? I'm excited. Man, we've seen baptisms. We've seen big boys baptized. We've seen beautiful girls baptized. We've just seen a lot of cool things today. Babies dedicated. But people have come to Christ today. It may be your time to come to Christ. By the way, if you're not saved, I believe it's your time. I just don't get it why people want to stay in hell longer than they have to. You know, I got buddies tell me all the time, well, Pastor Steve, I'm just not ready to be saved yet. I say, what, you like hell? They go, what do you mean I like hell? I'm a good person. I said, I know. You don't drink much. You don't cuss in front of women. And you only smoke in the basement. That's not what God's talking about. God's saying, I want to come into your life and I want to change you, your attitude and your destiny. Without Jesus, you don't make it to heaven and I don't make it to heaven. But with Jesus, heaven comes through us. God's promise becomes a part of us and heaven becomes our reality because of Jesus. Make sense? Because of who? Jesus. So he wants to love you. And so guess what, church? It's going to take everything to make it happen. I want you to pray for everything. 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 We got to pray for our schools, all of them. I don't care if it's public school, home school, Christian school, whatever kind of school it is. If there's kids in there, guess what? We need to pray that they have the promise of what? Jesus. But I know what we got to do particularly, Scott. We got a campus of 21-5. Do you think that's God intended? I do. We got a church. What are we supposed to do with this church, with that campus?
Well, Pastor Steve, I guess we probably need to share Jesus with university students. You reckon?
Well, wait a minute, but we got a lot of high school kids here, too. We want to make sure that everybody comes to know Jesus. I'm just telling you right now, and this is from your lead pastor to you as a church. 50, 100, 200 is not going to cut it anymore. And what we're doing right now is we've got the river dammed up. Y'all hear what? I did not cuss there. I'm dammed. We've confined the river to our ability to cross it. And we pride ourselves in it a little bit. Well, we got, well, here's the new excuse I hear for doing it. We're heavily discipling just a few. Well, see, Jesus did that with 12. One of them made an F. He took the other 11, got another one that had been listening, and changed the world. Now, that's the scriptural fact. It's going to take everybody. Some will be in groups of 12. Some will be in groups of 3,000. Some will be in groups of 2. But I'm telling you what, nobody will be walking backwards. Everybody together will be walking what? Forward into the water. Let me leave you with this. What does the Bible call every believer? It says that God's making us in over there in the letter to Peter. Remember 1 Peter, 2 Peter? He said, we've been formed into a royal what? So I wonder who ought to be walking in the water. Who did God send out? The Levitical what? Priest. With the principles and the covenant of God. So that what looked impossible might become possible. I want to live that way because Jesus said we could. How many of y'all want to live that way because Jesus said it could? Man, I'm going to tell you, we got to change the world and we can't do it. But man, we got a Christ in us that can do it. How many of y'all start believing that? Well, if you're going to think about believing that, just go ahead and stand up. We want to give you at least a possibility, okay? Go ahead and stand up if you want to believe in that. Well, the rest of y'all sitting down don't want to believe in that? No, it's fine if you don't sit down. I'd rather for you to be real with yourself than to be deceived. Now, let's pray for a minute. I want everybody to sit tight. We're having an altar. I don't care if you're hungry. People are going to hell. Your hunger can wait. We don't have a starvation problem in America. If you notice, we have an obesity problem in America. The last thing we need is another hamburger. But let me tell you what we're short of. We're short of people who honestly believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior. We're short of Christians who will step out into the Jordan and say, you know what? I'm going to carry God's principles, His truth, His covenant, His power. I'm going to step on just like God told me to, and I'm going to take some other people. We're in a shortage of those folk. Would y'all agree with me? Well, you got to be those folk. Amen? Amen? So how powerful are those people? Well, you'll find out next week. Those people can shout and sing and the walls of a whole city will come tumbling down because God will do what He said He's going to do. Today, I want to be very clear. If you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, He wants to come into your life. What do you think about that? He really would like to come into your life. You say, well, Pastor Steve, I really don't feel like I'm a sinner. Okay, well, let me help you. This will help you find out that you are. God said, here's His principles. If you've never, ever, ever, ever worshipped anything but God, you got the first one right. None of us in this room probably done that. If you've never told a lie, how many of y'all have lied before? Any of y'all ever lied before? All right, those with your hands down, go ahead and get them up. See what I'm saying? We lie. Watch this. How many of you have committed adultery? Good. Four honest people. Five. Six. I bet more than you think. See, that's one of the taboo ones we're not supposed to talk about. Because, you know, in the church we go, that's sexual. It's a private matter. Really? And why does the Bible talk about it so publicly? You know what? Jesus said, when we think that way in our mind, it's the same as. You see, we've sinned against God. And here's what I'm telling you. God wants to free you and love you and change you. Why not receive Him? I'm going to tell you, if you're going to do it your own way, you'll either drown in a river or die in a desert. Hear what God's saying today? He's speaking to us. If you need to be baptized, it's time to get baptized. If you need to come in here and repent and say, God, you know, I know what you want me to do in my life, but I'm not doing it right now. Listen, if you know in this room right now you're involved in some things, you've just made some bad decisions, and you know you're not doing what God wants you to do, guess what? Come right down here to this altar and say, God, listen, I'm not living up to the promise you put in me, and I need to tell you I'm sorry. You know what needs to go on. So I just want to pray y'all come right now, all right? In the name of Jesus, Lord, I am so thankful that you're our God. You called Joshua and Caleb, Jeanette and other people, Jan. You use males and females who will believe in your promise to see your great work. You use them, God. You have throughout all of history. I don't believe you stopped today. I don't believe you stopped in this room. So hear me. If you feel right now, you know, you did just something that tells you Jesus wants to come in your life. Why don't you come right now and say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I need you in my life, so I'm going to ask you to come in my life right now. Maybe you have not been baptized. Look at me. If you claiming to follow Jesus Christ, I got to tell you the truth, then why wouldn't you do the first thing He asked you to do? He said, be baptized. You know, why do I theologically need to be baptized? My biggest thing was, Jesus was. I'm going to tell you something else. Baptism has nothing to do with church membership. It has everything to do with your confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. He's not ashamed of you. He's madly in love with you. Is that not crazy? He's madly in love with you. He's not angry at you. He's not mad at you. He wants to show you heaven. Why don't you let Him take you there? We're just going to open it up, guys. I love you. Man, God's going to do something great right now. I know some of you, watch, I see some of y'all got what I call you. You're getting a little irritated. Like, oh, man, what's going on? That's God. Get rid of what's killing you. And let what brings you life come through you and see what happens to your week. So right now, in the name of Jesus, this altar is open for all of us to come forth, to repent, to pray for healing, to come and ask to be baptized, to receive Christ. This altar is open to the ministry of God. This is the part of the worship experience. So why don't you come and say, God, I am going to be so real with you. I know the world around me is going to be changed because you're going to be coming out of me in such a real way. So just let God touch you today. Let Him love you. Come on, in the name of Jesus, God does want to touch you. He wants to bless you. Come on, in the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus.